Got your glasses with you? We didn't get home till Thursday and we sort of got straight back into it. There was a bit of confusion. We thought we were getting back Wednesday and had Wednesday to recover, but we didn't. And we got back Thursday, so we just jumped straight into it all. And so both Joy and I are feeling that the jet lag has hit us on the weekend now that we've got time to stop and slow down, I guess. So I apologise in advance for what may not make sense. Matthew chapter 5 that Graham read to us. And I had the passage from Proverbs also there because, in a sense, Proverbs is a great example of the kind of conversation that Jesus would ask of us as we be salt and light in the world. And we'll come to Proverbs, perhaps. If not, it's a very good example of the kind of thing that is helpful or not helpful. In us being who God wants us to be. And that's really what it's all about, isn't it? Trying to understand who God wants us to be. What's his will for our life? We often think of that in terms of things, places, doings, all of that. But God's will for our lives is more about who we are than about what we are to do. In the Beatitudes that we've been doing before we took that lovely journey to through Ruth was in Matthew chapter 5, the first 12 verses. That's focusing on who we are, as believers. Then in verses 13 to 16, we're now looking at what God wants us to do. That's always secondary. It's important, but it's always secondary. If we jump over who we are and just do what we do, we will not do it the way, well, we run the risk of not doing it the way that the Lord wants, because it's all about what's here and what he's doing in us and how that overflows into other people's lives. Verses 13 to 16. Very, very well-known passage to people that have been believers for a long time. Salt of the earth and the light of the world. I'd like to just read these verses from the Message translation to start with, just to give a bit of colour into it. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavours of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and you'll end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colours in the world. God is not a secret to be kept, but as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, then shine. By this I mean keep open lives, keep open house. Be generous with your lives. And by opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father that we have in heaven. Okay, salt of the earth, light of the world. The thing that stands out to me in both of these metaphors is that it's primarily talking about weekday living. Salt. Out of the shaker, if you want to think about that metaphor, and added into the cooking. or added into the meal. Light, out in the open, shining in the darkness. Not in the light, not in the day, but in the darkness. Both of these metaphors are emphasizing it's who we are and what we are in the world. Not primarily talking about who we are and what we are when we're together, within our salt shaker, if you like, or on the shelf up there. Not that that's not important, but that's not where we're to stay. The vast majority of the time, we are to be being shaken out. And that's, of course, true, isn't it? Even if the services are longer than we ought to, than they ought to be, or whatever, it's still a fraction of a time that we're together compared to the whole of the week. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. What does it mean to be the salt of the earth? Well, as I said, salt's not meant to sit on the shelf. So, if we think about Jesus saying this to us, it means that believers in the resurrected Jesus are not to stay just in Christian gatherings, but as salt is spread out, so we need to see that that's what our lives are. Our lives are touching others. Our lives are influencing others. We need to be careful how much our lives are being influenced by others, because as salt, God wants our lives to be doing the flavouring. Let your light shine, he says when he gets on to the other metaphor. Let your light shine before, in the Old King James Version, it says, let your light shine before men. Let your light shine before others. It's out there. And that's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can't shine if we don't have any light. We can't bring flavour into people's lives if we don't have the saltiness of the Holy Spirit within us. But because we are Christians, then it's the Spirit that flows through us in that. When we come to the Lord, you see, we lose our blandness. We lose our bitterness, our tastelessness, our nastiness, or our sugariness. We become flavoursome. And by flavoursome, I just simply mean we become Christ-like. We begin to live with the new nature and the character of the Lord Jesus in us. Shannon was talking about, you know, being clothed in the righteousness of Christ at the end of days, and that's true. But that's an increasing experience of us Christians leading up to that great day, where the righteousness of Christ, that just means the wonderful, incredibly beautiful life that he lived, he is living that ongoingly out through us through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why he's resurrected. If you don't believe in his resurrection, then pointless. But because he is resurrected, that's why I distinguish Christians from believers who believe in the resurrected Jesus. Because Christian can mean so many things in this modern day, in what we do. So, we become flavoursome, Christ-like. We have affection for others. There is an exuberance to us about life. A serenity. A willingness to be faithful. A willingness to stick at things. A sense of compassion in our heart. And this is something that I find very challenging. A conviction that there is a basic goodness that permeates everything in life. Sinfulness and evil, notwithstanding, but in us who know the Lord, who have him as our constant companion and presence, knowing that at any moment we could just be in his eternal presence, there's that sense of the goodness of life that permeates our lives. I think that's some of the sort of practical applications of what it means to be salty in this sense. Remember what Psalm 34 says, taste and see what? That's right. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Isn't that a great way of saying it like that? You know? It's not just about beliefs. It's not just about, you know, sort of doctrines and truths and all of that sort of stuff. It's much more intimate than that. It's actually tasting of the Lord. Tasting of the goodness of the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now we have tasted of the Lord, surely. How are others going to taste him? How did we taste him? I'm sure with all of our millions of different ways, at the end of the day it was so often coming back down to ones and twos and threes, connections and people that we met who, through getting to know them and getting to understand who they were, we understood that something of the goodness, I don't want to confuse now what Shannon was saying to you, because everything she said was absolutely true, but as we taste something, let's call it wholesomeness, of the wholesomeness of true believers. I'm not talking about the nasty, critical people who run around thinking they're the Holy Spirit and want to tell everybody else how they ought to live their lives. I'm talking about wholesomeness. I'm talking about Jesusness. I'm sure for all of us, somewhere along the way in our spiritual journey, even before we came to the Lord and gave him our life, there were some connections with some of these other people. You know, another farmer somewhere on another paddock, or someone else in the school, or someone in our family, or maybe our Sunday school teacher. That's who it was for me. Tommy Louie, I'll never forget him. He was just like no one I'd ever met before. And it was this wholesomeness of the Lord Jesus in him. So, this tasting of the Lord. And then the Lord wants others who don't yet know him to taste something of him. Holy moly, you know, they don't want to taste us. Do they, Shannon? Maybe on a good day. And that's exactly right. He is wanting these people to taste him. That's what Paul says. We don't preach ourselves, but we preach Jesus. And he's not talking about preaching. He's talking about overflowing. A few people preach. Majority of the Jesus followers never preach. But they do with their lives every day that we live. And the people around us, and that's why we can't, you know, leave all these people for dead out there by spending all of our time in our holy huddles, but it's just out there. And friends, let's not get too caught up in having to build programs that connect with the community. We connect with the community every day we live, whether it's at work or at uni or at school, whether it's in the mother's club down the road, whether it's in the cafe, whether it's in the turnstile in a hotel lobby, or whether it's in the lineup at the checkout. Every day, millions and millions of opportunities. If we see ourselves as outward looking. So, Christians whose talk is toxic, whose talk is critical, who gossip, who are arrogant and domineering. I'm using those words because sometimes I've met some Christians who actually think that's what being salt is. To me, that's what Jesus is talking about here, is that we've lost our saltiness when we get like that. And we're useless. Nobody's going to want to taste the Lord through someone who's, you know, belting them over the head and picking them and judging them and just poisoning them with all kinds of things. Lost the saltiness, he says, it's only good to be thrown out. It's interesting, in Canada on the roads during the winter, they throw out all the salt on the ice. It's a far cry, isn't it, from the salt that sits up on the shelf in the cupboard to be used for seasoning that beautiful meal. The spiciness, maybe we could use spiciness instead of salt. Salt's a bit of a baddie in nutritional things at the moment, but, you know, spices, oregano, all of those sorts of things are there. But here they are, throwing salt out. I don't know if that's what they did back in Jesus' day, and that's why he's got that idea of salt will be just chucked out and crunched under feet. I don't know whether there was ice around in those days. I think there was snow at times. So anyway, here's this situation. I saw that in Canada, and it was interesting because it's on the road and the cars are driving on it and they need it, because the salt actually melts a bit of the ice so that it gives a bit of traction on the car's wheels. But all the salt gets thrown up underneath the vehicles and they all rust out. Most cars last about 3 or 4 years before the rust all starts settling out through it. And there's a whole other metaphor in that, isn't it? About being salt and being helpful or not helpful. You're the light of the world. Let's move on. City set on a hill, he says, a light on a stand. Let your light shine. Again, all of these emphases here of being out there in our everyday lives, shining for him, the light of the world. Now, you know what John 8 says, verse 12, where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. That's true. He is the light of the world. You remember John the Baptist? He talked about the light. And John said of him, he was not the light, but he bore witness to the light. So he was like a lantern. The light was shining out through him, but he, in a sense, was the, what do you call it, just the lantern. and the light shone out through him. He was reflecting the light. Nobody actually really, I mean, I don't think people go and buy a torch because of what it looks like. I did have a torch when I was a kid that I really loved, because on the back of it was when I went to YMCA camps, and so it was the first time I was away from home. I was just a little kid, primary school, but I had this light, this torch, and on the end of it had a tiger's face. And I used to go to bed at night, seriously. I couldn't bring my teddy with me because the kids would laugh, but I'd go to bed at night sometimes holding that torch on my chest looking at the tiger. So, we're looking here at the light that is shining out from something or someone, as us as believers. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colours in the world. You know, I just had a great thought about the prism. You know what a prism is? A little triangular, pyramidic, paramatic, triangular shaped thing. Light comes into it, doesn't it? Hits it and gets, what's the word? Refracted? Defracted? It gets split up. And the light comes out the other side of the prism like a rainbow, doesn't it? I'm thinking that's like us. That's probably an illustration that they didn't think of back then. We're the prism. We need to allow the light of the Lord coming into us, and then through us in some miracle way, through the Holy Spirit, then coming out the other side is this, you know, those things like I talked about before, affection for others, an exuberance about life, an enthusiasm. Goodness, just good old-fashioned enthusiasm. What's happened to it? In theos. That's where it comes from. In God. An exuberance for life. Serenity, you know, all of those things. Willingness to be faithful. They're all the, you know, the refracted, diffracted light that comes out that touches other people. It's how they see the beauty and the colour of the Lord. So there's some metaphors there for us to be thinking about. People see, when they look at us, hopefully, they see the colours of the rainbow, not the prism. It's not about that. So these two metaphors, very well known, but I think in very practical ways, incredibly challenging for us as believers in Jesus. Let me finish just by saying what I think we really need to do. I think it's very relevant in our day and age today as we look at ourselves as Christians in the even broad sense of the other Christians in the community, like the Christian community at large. I think we're being really challenged, and we need to be really careful that we need to focus on Him, not on each other. By that I mean churches that are like lanterns, or if you like salt shakers, focusing on themselves, or Christians comparing their church to others. That's a bit like particles of salt arguing over which salt shaker they want to be in. Well, this one over here, that's all nice and shiny and pretty. I want to be in that one. I want to be a bit of salt that's in that kind of shaker. When all along, God doesn't even want the salt to be in there. The only thing that really matters about a salt shaker is that it's got some holes in it. So we're looking for a church that's got holes in it. Hey, welcome to my world. Every church has got holes in it. I'm mixing up the metaphors now, I know. It just bugs me to see majority of Christians that I sometimes meet along the way that seem to just be moving from one church to another and then to another. And then to another, and they're spending all of their time preening or advertising themselves or pushing this feeling depressed because they're not like that, or they're you know, all of this stuff that's all about the shelf in the blooming pantry. It's all about the blooming lanterns up on the shelf in the second-hand shop. You know? All of that sort of stuff. A lantern is useless for anything other than shining light out. So, let's not be like that. Let's do what Jesus said. That is, to recognise that we belong to Him, we therefore are salt. And therefore we are the light of the world through Him. And let us do what He says, let our light shine. Let your light shine. Now, I'm saying that to you, I'm saying that to me. It's what God's saying to me. Don't worry about that. You know, was it Peter who was just told a whole lot of stuff about what was going to happen to him at the end of his life in John chapter 21? And straight away he looks at John and he says to Jesus, what about him? What's going to happen to him? And Jesus says to him, mind your own business. Doesn't matter what's happening there. You follow me. And that's the thing that Jesus is saying to us all today. If every Christian in South Australia shone in the power of the Spirit in these beautiful, gentle ways, if all of them were salty in the sense of the flavours of the Lord coming through in their connections and in their conversations, and sometimes that's tough conversations. Salt can hit you sometimes. Honesty is part of being salty, not in the sense of being judgmental and self-righteous, but sometimes a little bit of salt is needed in that sense, especially when we see an unsalty Christian having a real go at another, you know, just growing Christian. That really gets you, doesn't it? So I've lost my track now where I was. That's right. God's saying to us, you shine. You shine where you are. You can. You are light. Don't worry about all of that stuff. I'll do what I do. You shine. You open up. You allow yourself to be shaken out into the cooking pots and the melting pots of what I'm doing in other people's lives. You just be prepared to be shaken out into it and see what I do. What a wonderful thing. Day by day, person by person, the flavours and the colours of heaven down here on earth. Loving Heavenly Father, we ask that you would help us to just understand who we are. And therefore, Father, that we would understand how to live in this world this coming week. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.